and welcome to the X-Wing segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Vincent Borgata. We are going to be talking about a couple of events this week, a couple of lists we're working on, and then a few announcements that came out of Adepticon. Just because I said it, this is the worst segue ever, but let's talk about the System Open. One dominated, I should say, by Quad Juke Phantoms, and one by Mr. Tyler Tippett of... Looks like Team Scum and Villainy, if that's his team name.
He does shoot for that team, yes.
That's his podcast name.
Yes. That's his podcast name, okay. I'm used to BCP listing your team name. So, what did either of you watch the final round?
I did not.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to watch the final round.
So I did watch Mr. Tippett emerge victorious over Nathan Idy, the E-Wing Master. And I have to say, there were a couple times that game where I think fatigue got to Nathan really badly. Tyler gave him a few openings during that game and made some pretty, what I considered obvious moves that if you considered them rightly, would have been very easy to abuse. But it was disappointing to see a different kind of Rebel list that wasn't, you know, four-ship Leia. In this case, Han, Jake Farrell, who almost pulled the game back single-handedly, and Nora dropped to, you know, three Juke Phantoms and a Crackshot Phantom. So
let me briefly toot my own horn by pointing out that I called Han Solo as a top ship, and I called Nora Wexley as a top ship. Jake is something that Nathan went that I would not have gone, but man.
Well, the cool thing about Jake is that he technically can triple action almost every turn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So in a game where action economy, if it's not king, is at least extremely valuable, he's a bargain at 37. His real problem is just that he isn't a resistance pilot, I think we all agree.
I mean, if he was in... I think the biggest thing, and maybe, Jeff, we talked about this before, was initiative. Right, if he was initiative 5, oh, you'd see him on every table in extended.
Hopefully, if he were initiative 5, he'd be 6 points higher. If he were initiative 6, he'd be 14 points higher.
If you ever pay 51 points for an A-Wing, something is very wrong.
You're not paying 51 points for an A-Wing. Like you said, you'd be paying 51 points for triple actions.
Yeah, but even... But at that, you're...
Anyway, I was mostly just talking out of my ass.
Okay. I was going to say, Suturefell is already a stretch at 52 for some people. An A-Wing, which isn't nearly as good of a chassis ability, would be a push at 51. But what do you guys... I mean, is everyone tired of Quad Phantoms 3 months after they should have been corrected?
I'm going to segue this. I am tired of seeing... You take the little thing that like isn't good by itself, and then you multiply it. We've talked about it tons of times on the podcast, and the Quad Phantoms is like the same thing. It's like the same problem the Triple Epsilon has, the same problem that the 5 Y-Wings, right? Like it's just this compounding issue, and I'm wondering why FFG hasn't touched them. Like they did the Upsilons, and
at the top 16 cut. It's absurd.
It's
the number of
six Phantom lists.
Yep.
It's a little
absurd.
And
you're absolutely right, Drew. It is the multiplication of efficiency. Efficiency on itself as synergy.
Yes. Exactly. Right. We were just talking about triple actions. You pay for them. You know, you've got the, and Vince, you and I were talking about this too, the super natty style, decloaking, mm-hmm. right? But all of your ships can do that.
Yep.
Along with the defender ability, right? Like, when you decloak, get an evade token. I mean, obviously the defenders can't cloak, right? But they're full throttle, they pay for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And the phantoms sure. seem to it's got 2 hull and 2 shields, so
there are a couple of discussions going on about the phantoms with regard to Juke, and then with regard to why they're so strong as a jousting list. And the I wish I could credit the whoever was talking about this, whoever brought this up first, but I don't really pay attention to usernames, so Just consider yourself credited, nameless listener. Juke is worthless unless you have a free evade.
Yep.
You have a free evade, Juke is too good. How do you balance something that's worthless without a free evade, and if you have a free evade, it's too good? That is a tough balance.
Yep.
You what you do is you price it by ship.
Oh, that kind of jumps into
can of worms. You're right, but that's a can of worms, man.
But yeah, this is a unique. It's a unique synergy to one ship that is proving problematic, and without destroying the combo outright, you're really only left with either you price it per chassis, and you just make it so that, I don't know, it's 7 points on a Phantom or whatever it is that you can't do four of them.
Well, keep in mind that it's not just one ship, assuming that Defenders get a price reduction and assuming that Naboo fighters are not dead on arrival.
Well, Defenders are a little different because they're quite limited in maneuvers.
But hold on, though. Because you can't run three or four Defenders. Now, obviously, that would be insane because the chassis itself is, like, ridiculous. Like, why they gave it a force shield, I'll never understand. Or the system slot, either. But anyways, we don't have this problem with Defenders because you can't run that many Defenders.
No.
Yeah, but, I mean, if we see them get a price reduction so that they are played...
You'll see it.
If Juke doesn't get touched, you're going to see double Juke Phantoms, and it's going to be strong.
Right, right.
It's like Juke is a really interesting balance problem because mathematically, because end evade, it's not worth the points. It's not a good card. If you have the free evade and you can get focus, or I suppose target lock, then it becomes an extremely good card. A weird balance problem.
The only other alternative, really, that without breaking the game up, would be to change how cloak works.
So I've already done once, but yeah.
That's the only remaining. If you look at it just from an equation perspective of modifying variables, you don't want to price the ship out of the game. The upgrade is you can't price it. You don't want to price it per ship because that's borderline impossible. The only remaining thing is to change the mechanic that is affecting both sides of the equation.
I mean, we've already seen them do similar things with the X-Wing, right? Like, they haven't lowered the X-Wing's cost to the point where you can run five of them, right?
For no reason.
And so, my thought process with it is, why not just make it so you can't run four Phantoms? You know, is that fourth Phantom what pushes it slightly over the edge?
The thing is, four Sigma Aces without Juke is probably a boring squad, and it's a really good jouster for a reason that somebody on the forums pointed out. Probably not broken. 20 hit points behind 2 agility? Not a broken squad.
Well, if you take a look at it, though, right? I mean, it all depends on how they up the cost, but currently, like, if you remove the Crackshot Phantom from, like, Tippett's list, right? I mean, you still got 3 Juke Phantoms, right?
Yeah.
Now, definitely is not enough. That's not a lot. I mean, you know...
The top cut 4 player put in Countdown.
Another guy had Vader in 3 Phantoms.
Those are MDARs, so Juke's not the problem there. It's
fair.
Just the raw Phantom, but yeah. Somebody else... Yeah, there was another Cockshot Sigma and 4, or a couple more. There was one that just went for the bid, just said, I don't need Crackshot. I'm going to take the bid against all these other Phantoms I expect to see.
Well, here's a thought. What if you changed Cloak from a 2 template to a 1?
Why?
I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. It's just that a 1... Decloak is like it robs cloak of what
it's supposed
anything
to do.
Special, right?
No, it becomes a free. It literally becomes a free supernatural.
I mean, it's already a free supernatural.
Well, no, it's better than Super. We already said it's better.
Free.
No, it is. Well, Supernatural. Well, not only that, because, like, I mean, you can boost with it, right? Like,
right. So,
what if Juke? I'm not necessarily saying Juke keeps the same cost, but what if to Juke, to spend your evade?
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, well, because here's the thing, too, right? Like, you know, that gets into the realm of, like, changing cards, which is weird because they, I don't know if they said that they wouldn't
do it
too.
No, you're right. You're right. That's errata. You're right.
But, well, hold on, though. But take a look, because, like, everything that we're thinking of is things that they have, or at least seems like they don't want to do, right? Like, changing Juke. Now we're changing the rules, so the rule book that comes in the core set, like, doesn't make sense because it has everything in it, right? Like, yeah. Or at least mentions it, right? And then, you know, we're talking about eradicating cards. I think the only thing that, you know, 9 times out of 10, the only thing that we're going to see them do is they're going to change the point cost. I think the Phantom, the base Phantoms is just going to go up. Maybe we'll see an increase to Juke.
Well,
but, you know,
should a Sigma Squad cost 50? Let's ask.
49. Let's say 49. Give it some room to use a talent.
So at 49, at 49, you wouldn't be able to fly four of them and fit Juke on anybody, but they all can take Crackshot.
Correct.
And I think that's fine.
That's not an inelegant solution. But I,
Vince, it's a more civilized one. Thank you very much.
For more civilized days.
You're unbelievable. I could see that. I think that's probably, in terms of what they're willing to do, the question is, will you see Phantoms at 49 points?
That's a good question.
I mean,
I'm not sure the chassis is overpowered at 45 points.
What is our 40?
It's competitive at 45. The Imdars prove that. Like, if all you do is take away the EPT, the Imdars are competitive at their current value. It would not be a stretch to have them be more competitive, to be just as competitive at 2 higher initiative.
I think it goes deeper than that, though, right? Because of this ability built into the ship, when you decloak, you gain the evade action. You know, these things are flying around with focus evade pretty much every turn.
Every turn.
Or every other turn, right? Because you gotta cloak first, and then you gotta come back in. You know, whatever. But even so, like, it's efficiency. It's action efficiency. And we were just saying, you know, triple actions for 50 points on Jake. Like, I could see 49 points for, you know, something you could take multiples of to have focus evade every turn. That's also one of the reasons why they survive, right? You're like, well, the whole, you know, the hull to shield ratio, right? Like, it's a Z95. But the fact that, oh, you juked me, now I have to spend both tokens to get 2 evades. Oh, no.
The X-Wing. Or it's not a Z95.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
It's between. It's 2-3. Yeah.
2-3. I'm sorry.
It's a 1EX wing.
Jeff, the 1.0 Phantoms are, like, ingrained into my soul.
All right, I'm with you.
I have to forget them.
But anyway, we shouldn't take, I mean, obviously the Tyler took on, he had to fight Phantoms to win with his Phantom, so that's something. But
go ahead, Jeff.
I was just gonna say kudos to Nathan for getting to the final game. You know, I didn't see it. Did he get crushed? Was it close?
No, he fought it out. He killed 2 of them and put another one on 0 shields.
Oh, kudos to him. That's the list I've been trying to get to work. You know,
when you look at what he was running, right, like with the multiple 1 agility ships, that is a feat in and of itself.
Well, wait. It's 1-1 agility ship and Nora.
Right. Well, solo, right? I mean, Solo technically has the reroll, but...
Yeah, but the ability, Nora's ability is just so good.
She's a monster.
Shooting at her from range 1, it's if she has an enemy ship at range 1, yep. Every attack coming in at her gets a super reinforced.
Yeah, if she's if she had ever gotten into a position where she had 2 in front of her at range 1 and 2 behind her at range 2, she could have gone through that turn and only taken 4 damage if they had rolled perfect. That's how good her ability is. It didn't unfortunately happen that way. She got peppered pretty good on her pass. And then after that, there kind of was, it was just a slow Nathan trying to drag the game out and drag Tyler into positions, and he made a game of it. You can't hate on him. Dude made a game of it.
That's the other thing that people were talking about that I agree with as far as why Phantoms are so very strong. Phantoms are a jousting list that, unlike every other jousting list in the game, does not need to move forward.
Oh, yeah. They just wait. Farmer wait. Perfected that, right?
Well, it was Farmer. Farmer certainly used it in his system open win, but
right.
it was being done before that. It's just that crab creep is very, very strong.
Yeah. The other thing, and we talked about efficiency, we probably need to revisit exactly how flexible their token stack is, too. They have enough dice to make a focus on defense worth it, but also they have few enough to make that evade useful on defense just to save themselves. And then forget what it does for them offensively, where it's obviously of more benefit. But they just have so many opportunities to use these tokens that it just increases their value.
They have an incredible escape potential down to two or one health, and the escape potential is immense. The huge leaps across the board, seven straight,
or 7K,
or 7K. Oh, they're it's a good ship, and I love Phantoms. Drew and I both love Phantoms. We could tell you stories.
Oh yes.
But I don't want to see. What is this? 20 Phantoms in the
top eight? Yeah,
top 16. I don't want to see that. I just it's I love Phantoms, but screw that.
Well, it also looks bad for the game for a problem to continue being a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when FFG has shown that they are willing to pull the ripcord unprompted, like they did on the Epsilons.
Yeah.
Like where they just that was somebody pulled the fire alarm and went, no, we're not having this.
I think we're going to see another hot fix.
I'm hoping we will. I'm really hoping we will.
And, you know, that's, we should also consider, though, you know, do we want it to hotfix or do we want it to fix with the next round? Because what precedent does it set if a list that, while it's winning, it's not really abusive, it's just too good, is going to get its, you know, its ankles chopped off?
Honestly, I don't have a problem with it, not because it won. I have a problem with it because there are too many in the top cut. There are just, it is obviously something about it that is abusive. There are just too many in the top cut.
There's
something wrong with it.
Yep, we saw this with 2014 Worlds. There were in a format that was thriving with what is it, Fat Hans. There were two Phantoms that made the top 16, I believe, and both of those Phantoms were, you know, obviously in this meta that was designed to stop them and beat them, and I believe both of them made it into the top four. Maybe one made it into the top four and then made it to the final table, and it was just like, you know, even then, some of us in the crowd are like, you know, Jeff and I, who could see what the Phantom could do, was like, okay, this is a problem. I'm hoping that with this many making the cut now in 2.0, FFG will finally be like, you know, there might be a problem here, guys.
And I should just point out, Phantoms are why I quit the first time.
In 1E?
Echo and Whisper is why I quit the first time.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
I played two games against it and just quit. There was zero interest for me in playing against so obviously an overpowered mechanic.
That was after the nerf, right?
No, that was right when they dropped.
Oh, okay.
That's I was running, if I remember correctly, like a 4 A-wing list.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I ran into that, and I'm like, wait, my dice don't do anything. Like, I'm the more maneuverable ship. I'm the faster ship. Everything I know about dogfighting tells me I should be dominating this matchup, and I have no chance.
Yeah, it was. I played Echo in the Imdar Alpha finals in one of the Imdar Alphas, and rocked myself twice, and just got my ass handed to me, but fell in love with it because once Echo was mastered, but anyway, that's a 1E. That's a 1E way back. We don't need to get into that.
Right, right.
No, I just wanted to, you know, I have a history with this, not as much as you guys, but I am biased.
I didn't know that. I don't blame you in the slightest, by the way.
I don't either. There's I want to give a shout out to Davis Kingsley, who just won their Legion event at Adepticon. The last X-Wing game I ever played with him
was Sigma Squadron Aces.
Was Sigma Squadron Aces?
I said,
But no, he was. It was Imdar Alpha for first edition, and he actually stopped playing X-Wing because of the Phantom as well. And there's, oh my God, like the list of people goes on and on. A lot of people dropped it because of the Phantoms, and I'm wondering now, you know, with hyperspace being a thing, you know, if they don't fix the Phantoms now, are we going to see people quit, or are we going to see people move on into hyperspace?
Well, I don't think there's any question but that they'll fix it.
They have to, but when is kind of the golden goose?
The triple epsilons were an NPE that didn't even have a chance to dominate, and they said nope.
Yeah.
This one is, I mean, I've never really played against it, so I don't know that it's an NPE, but it certainly looks like an NPE.
It looks...
negative play experience. I just don't see how they can look at these results and not yank the ripcord.
And we're going to find out if they do. If they are going to do anything, I would not be shocked if it happened in about 2 weeks when they announce Wave 5. That would seem to be the right time to do it. You're already shaking up the game, letting everybody know what's coming. That would be when I would drop it. Because I think that's also before the next system open. Let me double check the system open schedule. X-Wing 2019. And what do we got? The next one is... second week of April in the UK. After that is Denver. They have three system opens in April that they either are going to let this ride or they have to do something about. So I would not be shocked if this morning there was conversations in Minnesota about whether or not they were going to fix this.
Do you think any of them asked if this was an April Fool's joke? Sorry, I had to. Moving on. Okay.
Moving on.
Been a pretty funny April Fool's joke, though.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Great Sigmas down the page.
You're kidding, right? Right. Like the guy who's like, why don't we just up the cost? He gets thrown out the window.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like, we could literally that. You know what? Our discussion could be that meme. Just one guy. We could redo the cloak. We could reprice Juke. We could balance the Phantom. Smash. I mean. But
we had some other lists that were like we had a little bit of Thai salad in there.
Yep.
We did have a Juke Defender and a Juke Whisper in the same list. Wow, that is old school. Rexler Brath plus Juke, Whisper Juke, and Omicron plus Palpatine.
Dude, I was gonna say the Defender and the Phantom actually play very well against off each other. The Phantom is all like, I'm going to be here and now there. And the Defender's like, I'm just going to sit here and kill you. Right? Like,
it is of interest to me that First Order is just not finding its legs at all. Apart from a handful of, you know, it'll win one event and then it'll finish in like the 13s or the 14s. But rarely does it, you know, carry water past that. You know what I mean?
Basically, seems like it needs a surgeon like Morgan Reed to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, the faction itself doesn't really have a clear, like, this is what we do. right? Like, the Resistance is all aces. The Rebels are like, okay, economy and support, right? The Empire has multiple things they can do. And Scum, actually, I think Scum and First Order, although First Order more than Scum, is really hurting in the, like, what do we do now that, like, you know, the one problem I have with Supernatural is it really seems like the chassis of the Silencer, like, you know, Kylo in general, was built to have, you know, supernatural reflexes.
Yeah.
And now that it's super overcosted, I mean, I don't know if it's overcosted, right? Like, obviously with, like, Vader, I think it's somewhat appropriate. Maybe it should be cheaper.
I think it'll come down a little bit.
I think it will, too. Or at least I'm hoping it will, because, yeah, I think, you know, factions like that need to have their hard-hitting ace, right? Like, you know, the Resistance has Poe, and I think Poe is one of the main reasons why the Resistance is, you know, still doing well, right? I also wanted to give a shout-out to, like, the Resistance TV show. It's not that good, but watching it makes me excited to see what is going to be coming out for these two factions down the line. And I think that is really going to open up the Resistance and First Order, especially the First Order, because I do think that they need some help right now.
Well, you're also right in that they need an identity, and they don't have one. The TIE Aces that they have aren't too soft to run by themselves, and they don't have enough. There, you can't run enough of them to swarm it up. They don't have any group effects.
And quick draw is too soft to run.
I hear there's medication that can help with that.
And the thing that I thought was going to be the bombshell from that faction is not playable. I am not seen. Have you seen anyone run Mass Coordinate Hux? I've never seen it, and I don't know why.
I think because the ships that it runs don't fly. Isn't Hux reliant on formation?
Yeah. No, he only requires that the ships you coordinate all be the same.
Well, there's your problem.
But yeah, you're gonna do. You're gonna run a 90 or 100 point Kylo, and then what's gonna carry Hux, and then the same for Hux too.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that he would apply. It doesn't say limited or non-limited. So you could give triple, you could token stack three first order TIE aces, and then you have him sitting on like a Tavson behind him. But
yeah, like you said, that one shield does not do enough to make them
make
them survivable.
Yeah, I thought Hux would be like, if we were all worried about battle meditation when it dropped, I thought Hux would be the test bed for that, and he's just not played at all. So I'm, you know, which surprises me, but also I know nothing about this game, so I'm also kind of not surprised.
I do think that if you had cheaper ships, so Hux on Tabson, that's strong. That's what, maybe 60 points? I don't really.
Yeah, because I'm going to jump into a list builder, Jeff. You go ahead and start spinning, and we'll put this together.
I beat you to it.
He's younger and he has faster hands. This is bullshit. So what, Tavson with Hux would probably, I think it's like 70, not 60.
70 points? So
72.
Yeah.
You need to have something that, you need to have an ace. I don't know what you're going to do. Are you going to have, you could have Blackout.
Long shot for 30. Isn't he only 30?
I mean,
33.
That's 105. You still got three ships in there. Three token stacking shielded TIE fighters with Longshot, who's you know, an X-wing at range one and a TIE fighter at range an X-wing at range three and a TIE fighter at range one.
I think Longshot is a good ship. The problem is you need to come up with two more ships that are good ships of the same type that then leave you points so that you have somebody that can hit somebody hard.
Well, you're not that. You're kind of not doing that with. It's a certain list idea. You're not running an ace in this case. You're going four wide with token stack TIE fighters.
So in the mindset of Wide World of Wargaming, want to be well, you guys have just touched down upon some great points with the First Order, in that you don't have a way to deal with aces, right? If you build Hux, you build Swarm. Right. Well, there are better swarms, right? Yes. We're looking at Leia. They call it Rebel Beef. To me, it's a Four-Ship Rebel 2.0. You know, we've got lists that can do what they do better. We've got lists that can do what they do faster and stronger. And we have lists that do what they do, but more economically, right?
I think if you could put Tavson and Hux and three SFs in front, think you've got the basis for something that might be able to work.
You could be that close to greatness.
He's not going to stop, Jeff. We have to just keep going.
There isn't that spam efficiency. See, Hux is calling for what Drew has been saying is a problem with the game, is spam efficiency. And First Order just doesn't have that. A Hux carrier, four Zetas or whatever it is. Zeta, what are they? Zeta Survivors.
Zeta Squadron. Zeta Squadron Survivor.
That's a decent list. That's a 30-point beefy list, right? But you can't drop two of them. Really expect to do much, with Tavson and the Epsilon and. I think the answer is that a First Order needs more ships.
Yep.
They need something between the TIE SF and the TIE FO.
Or they need the points on those to adjust it. I'm almost done here, guys. Give me 20 seconds, you know, just a handful of seconds to finish something that I've looked at before. Yeah. What's the cheapest TIE you can run in First Order?
So we have Starkiller Base Pilot with Hux, Quick Draw with Special Forces and Crackshot, Zeta Squadron with Special Forces, and then a basic Zeta Squadron with nothing. That's 200.
Hang on, I've almost got this. I think I just found it. Swap. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you guys might have a different idea, but where are you? So you can run Longshot, Muse, Tavson, Scorch, and an Epsilon with Hux. These are all TIE FOs. So he can coordinate three of them per turn. And you have Muse to pull the stress off Scorch every turn, meaning that you've got 2 3-die shooters and a 4-die shooter on your joust, and you've still got 5 bodies.
Can be decent, I think, and I think it's only decent because you have enough ships in there that you can try to block people.
Right, but it's also a decent spread as far as initiatives go. It is heavily weighted towards the low end, but most TIE fighter lists are. It's a 3, a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 1.
I mean, the TIE fighter swarm
is fours, threes, and ones.
One is incredibly valuable to a swarm.
Yeah.
And this is it's almost equivalent with the triple coordinate. It's almost equivalent to the Howlrunner reroll because they all can take target locks.
I mean, I say give it a try. My feeling is you are going to lose one of your heavy hitters, one of your 3-die ships. You're going to lose them before he shoots.
Yep.
You don't have an Iden.
Yeah, that is really the safety net of the TIE Swarm, and I'm not sure she's worth only 40. You know what I mean?
And, you know, it's doing well, but it's not dominant. It's certainly no Quad Sigmas.
True, but, you know, we've talked about the words auto-take before, and you can't run a Swarm without her.
Speaking of, by the way, so Sherry spanked me at the hyperspace trial a week or so ago, and I was playing in my Vassal League. I'm segueing into our list because we've banged our head against this enough, I think.
Well, we got through a couple things we wanted to talk about, and I got to get a Hux plug in there because I have always wanted to.
Oh, so that's another call
now. I think you ought to try it at a casual night and let us know, because I think it sounds interesting.
I just worry about me flying anything that fragile. It doesn't normally tend to end well for whatever I'm flying.
Where can I buy one of those Hux plugs? Sorry.
And do you have to wear it all the way through the show?
Yep. He's sitting on one right now.
Jeff, continue.
So,
sorry, iTunes.
I decided that I was going to see what I could do to fight two problems. Rebel beef in a square form. Now, what does that sound to good old NIM players?
Emulator. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
I went with Vinny, loaded out to about 94 points.
Oh, my God.
13 hit points, though.
Yeah, he's
and,
a bear.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lulo and 9. That's what I say. Some people say 9, but...
I love it.
And it was pretty... I played it on Vassal today. Did well. Now, here's another reason that I'm bringing it up. I won like 100 or 200 to 47. Another reason I brought it up is it was against an Inferno squad, which was completely random because in Vassal League, Lister and Escrow, you don't know what the other guy's going to play.
Sure.
That's awesome.
So it was a good test. It did well. But this loops around to something that I talked about last week because I rolled really, really well.
That's a first for you.
Yeah. It's certainly... my Vassal games are very unsatisfying one way or the other. They're just like amazingly hosed, or the other guy gets amazingly hosed. So in this case, Vinny had an extra, I think... it ended up being an extra 6 hit points or something just from rolling evades.
Oh, and wow.
That will decimate a tie swarm when you're catching multiple ties with seismics. I caught every single tie swarm with a proton.
Oh.
Game. Proton bomb.
Game.
Yeah, that was basically it. He played it out because he's not me and he's a Zen master. But I can't adjust in my evaluation of that squad against that tie swarm. I have to adjust for my good fortune. Do that. What I'm left with was I liked the way the list performed. I liked fairly well the way I flew it. I was sure that game was as one-sided as the score indicates, and that it wasn't as good as it feels in my soul.
I almost wouldn't be
my brain.
I would love to see people run Venny with a stealth device on him.
Jeff,
those three dice.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
You've created a monster to fight monsters. You created monsters.
But I mean, it's almost wholesome, Drew. It's not like NIM. It is a 10-point trajectory simulator.
Right. Right.
And then another 8 points for the bombs, and so on and so forth. But that was an interesting list building, and I'm gonna keep trying it and see what comes of that, because it should do well against, not as well because they're shielded, but it should do well as far as getting hits down on Rebel Beef.
Yeah, the damage output from the rocks, you'll force them to pull the Juke Phantom right, like in a corner. They can't engage in the rocks, and if they do,
Drew,
I don't know about. I think Phantoms would eat me alive, but
I mean, you sure? You know, you don't have three shields, but again, with the trajectory, right? But you know, they could decloak, right? Like, I do think that they would. It would be an uphill battle for you for sure.
They don't have to engage in the rocks because of their ability to crab walk. So
this is true.
Yeah, I think it'd be rough for me. Guys, the thing I warned about is happening. I'll be back within about 30 seconds.
Sounds good. Jeff is off to collect something of great importance. We will continue in his stead. Why aren't we seeing more Venny lists?
I'll be honest with you, man. I think that it's because of the similar thing that we mentioned with the First Order. There's just not enough ships, right? And you know, you got this big hulking mass who wants to like shoot bombs like way out in front of it. But that is counterintuitive when you've got aces that want to be next to those ships and like dance around them. Now the A-wings, of course, you know, they can dance far away, they can dance close. And then the, you know, as much as we love the Neons and the Ellos and the Poes, and the Beastie Boys, you know, it's not enough. I think that they kind of they trip over each other. And so I think that people go for, well, I've got a giant cow that, you know, just gets shot at and, you know, bleeds and dies. I'd rather take the aces, force my opponent to make, you know, bad choices, and I have fun flying a ship.
You know, what is, Venia 62. I'm looking at another bomber, Edon. I'm going to try to get this correct. Edon Kappel? He's 66. I mean, both of them are... You've got one of them that's going to proc the other guy. You've got Edon's turret to proc Venny's ability. And then you've got Edon, who's probably, I would say, a better bomber than even the scum Firespray pilot. What's his name? Iman? Like, listen to this ability. I'm not sure if you've even ever read it. After you fully execute a blue or white maneuver, if you have not dropped or launched a device, you may drop one.
That's actually pretty good.
That's incredibly powerful. And that works on the on Phantoms.
That's one e-bomber.
Yeah, I was going to say that's genius. Literally.
This goes back to the thing we've all said. Is hyperspace even remotely played out at this point? I mean, how many things like this have people not even heard of or not even really considered? And yet we're seeing them mess with the points. Like, how often are we jumping the gun on some of these adjustments?
Well, I think that the things, and I mean, they've done a good job of this, the things that they are adjusting are do need to be, like, fixed. And I think we're real close to getting in that sweet spot. But, I mean, they did kind of make another issue, right, with all the Rebels lowering in points. Or at least the number of things that they lowered.
But mind that on the bombers, that they were sort of counter-adjusting because Trajectory Simulator went way, way up.
That is also correct, yeah.
So bombers came down, Trajectory Simulators went up.
I'm just thinking, if you have that pilot I just mentioned with Trajectory and Bombardier, I mean, you have a choice between, you know, 4 and 5. Not to mention, if you don't want to use Trajectory, you're dropping it behind you. So 1 and 2, like, you have you have almost total control over where you drop the bombs, and you do it out of sequence. Like, what are we missing in hyperspace? How much stuff is getting left behind, do you think?
I think the other problem that I've seen with the Star Fortress as well is that they their own bombs quite often. Which seems strange, right? Like, maybe I haven't seen them, like, flown decently enough, but I, at least in my experience when playing against them, you know, it's my job to make sure that if they're going to launch a bomb, it's going to be not where they want to, and, like, it's not going to hit what they want to. And it's just one of those things, I don't know. I was talking to Jeff earlier about, I think the Resistance trips over itself as far as the Star Fortress is concerned, because it wants to launch bombs and, like, disrupt your opponent. But in the meanwhile, you've got all these aces that want to be around or really close to those enemy ships. But you don't want to get hit by the bomb.
But you can take it. And they're only a 4-point shield.
If you absolutely have to, you can take it.
It's a 4-point shield. On the bombers, it's a 4-point shield. I mean, you're not paying a lot for an upgrade either.
I think that one thing that's weird is a lot of
plating.
It isn't in hyperspace.
Whoa, it's not?
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's a lot of upgrades you would not think.
I
like tactical scrambler isn't in hyperspace.
I mean, some of those things, I mean, obviously it makes sense, but I feel like if we're going to have bombs in hyperspace and, like, trajectory simulator, then a blade of plating, I feel like, is a must, right? Like, tactical scrambler is, you know, I mean, yeah, it's sort of, like, niche.
Well, can
but,
you
like, I feel like if you're going to have bombs, I feel like a blade of plating is a must.
Can you imagine how different people would fly U-Wings if tactical scrambler was legal?
I mean, you would see it stapled onto the
every
U-Wing with
single
Leia.
U-Wing with Leia would have tac scrambler. I think you would see it probably more than rig cargo chute.
100%.
Like, Jeff, 100%. You would put it on Heftober in a heartbeat, right?
I mean, I have a problem with...
Flying good list? Yes.
Ooh.
Sorry. I
have a problem with being way too wrapped up in odd hit points. To me, my first reach with Heftober is shield upgrade, or hull upgrade, rather.
Okay.
That's my problem.
Maybe it's also because you may not think that the extra die, right, from the extra die that you'll gain, because, like, so that's the thing, right? So I, you know, in 1.0, whatever the upgrade was called for 1.0, it did the same thing. I was running it with Manaru, old Tarok, and Fenrau, and the thing was, you know, they would just shoot the ship, right? And is that your line of thinking, Jeff, right? You put it on Hef to be like, or if you did, they're like, okay, I'm not gonna shoot, you know, Luke or Wedge behind. I'm just gonna shoot the U-Wing.
Although there is, I mean, Hef's entire reason for existing is that he wants people to run into him.
This is also true.
You know, there is an argument to be made for it, absolutely for certain. It's just my neurosis.
And a U-Wing is not necessarily a terrible ship to use as a tank. It's 8-hull with 2 evade dice.
Right, right. And it's, I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast, right? The pivoting turret platform.
Yeah,
especially
you can
now
use
with,
it as a mobile obstacle.
Especially now with Leia, right? Like, oh yeah, no stress, just...
Yeah. I mean, it essentially becomes a fly, you know, a rock that chooses a side at that point.
Right, right.
But
I feel like that's, you know, a blade of plating is also one of the reasons we don't see the Star Fortress. Because they need to have some ability of making sure that the bomb isn't going to hit themselves.
Because don't large ships, if they two straight, they'll cover distance 5?
No, because if you the large base length is a range 2, right?
Okay, they would have to go 3. Okay.
Yeah. So it's
ship that runs into launches a proton bomb, for instance, hit by its own proton bomb doing a 1 straight.
Did you not know that?
That's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you get 6 TIE fighters, it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's true.
The turnaround has to make it right, and that's why I think seismic charges are seen a lot more on ships that can bomb.
Right.
Because you can touch the rock a little bit further away, and suddenly you're like, oh man, this is so cool. I'm not hitting myself.
Yeah, it's the bubble of a bubble.
Yep, exactly.
Which makes it really hard to plan for.
Props to FFG for that change to seismic charges. That was a really good change in my
opinion. Oh yeah, it makes the game so much more interesting, and I'm excited to. I haven't played against the Buzz Swarm droids yet, or the Dark the Interceptor or the Infiltrator droids yet, but I'm like, I want to see them on the table, because I think that is like the coolest part of this game, is to have little things that you know, those little interactions.
I want to, you know, ask, since you brought up Separatist Drew, I want to ask this. Are people running to Kraken because he's the easiest one to use and because he's the most like the Moldy Crow?
Who?
The tactical droid Kraken, who lets you hold calculate tokens.
think he's just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, he's like really good.
I'm seeing games of Kraken lists just getting decimated. And it's stuff where that extra evade could have been the difference. That, and remember, it's not an extra die. Not TV 49, the other one. You have networked. How much storage do you need?
I mean, three. It's an action and a half, basically, right? For them, it's three actions, but in real action economy, it's an action and a half for two actions. That's pretty good, man.
It is, but they don't have the dice to really. They don't have the dice to use them. Like, how often in a turn are you gonna either burn both your calculates if you don't have an ability that, pardon me, that lets you turn a blank to a result?
They do have that ability. They have network calculations. It isn't the ship that has two calculates that has to use that has to roll an eyeball.
No, right, it's right.
Any ship around them that has to, that rolls an eyeball.
Right, Jeff. But what I'm saying is, if you don't, they only have four dice. Like attack and defense, they only have four dice. And if you're not using the other tactical droids, you're really limited in how many calculates you can use. Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, I sort of see what you're saying. It's just, I think, I mean, the games that I've watched where people are launching these energy shells, they are rolling a lot of red dice. And
well, yeah, they can chuck 18. Six of them can chuck 18 dice.
All of their calculates, they're because they're managing to hold on to three with Kraken. I mean, I'm not saying Kraken is the way to go, but I am saying that it is very, very powerful, and I'm not at all surprised people are looking at it for 10 points and saying, yeah, I'd pay 10 points for two extra actions.
I found him. It's K2B4. He's half the price. And not only that, but he has a damaging effect on the guy shooting at him.
Remind us.
Yeah, while a friendly ship at 0 to 3 defends, it may spend one calculate token. If it does, add an evade result unless the attacker chooses to gain one strain.
I don't think strain is good enough for that. If I was going up against it, I mean, unless I was, like, stressed. But even then, being stressed is, like, you know, stressed and strained. Like, does it... Remind me, if you do the blue maneuver, doesn't it get rid of both? Or do you have to action to get rid of the strain?
No, strain goes away on a blue maneuver.
Yeah, so, like, I don't... Yeah, it's a weaker... stress, because you still get actions.
Well, also, it's not a weaker. It's totally different from stress. You lose an agility die.
Well, there's also a thing where 000, notwithstanding, really competitive players, something that they paid for, opponents. The choice of whether or not they get the benefit of it, or which benefit they get.
Right.
No, it's like Vader. People will pay 14 points for Vader. The benefits, both benefits, are incredibly strong.
They're horrifyingly bad for the person who has to make the decision.
Well, wait, yeah.
And 000 was the same, that both things that 000 could do for you were really, really good. And even then, there were a lot of cases where it's just like, this is a no-brainer, I'll take the stress, or this is a no-brainer, you can have the calculate.
Well, think about it this way.
Really,
like,
competitive players don't like doing that.
Right.
I'll pose a counter-argument to that. What if you're running... If I'm telling you, if I'm running Wedge, and somebody's got a K2B out there, I'll give them the evade. I'm not taking a strain on Wedge. Who's going to take a strain on Vader to possibly, you know, who's not going to just give that up? You can't roll two dice with Vader and not have a focus.
Well, now you're getting nitpicky, though, right?
No, I'm talking about cost benefit. Jeff's talking about cost benefit. Think about the benefit to you as the defender now. He's taking one of his best hitters and he's actively reducing its survivability to avoid one damage.
But again, the context behind it, right? Like, what does the board look like? Is what's going to get shot up by six? Then sure, you don't take the strain, right? Like, again, as Jeff was saying, it's a no-brainer.
But it's 5 points. It's 5 points that has two good effects. You're either actively reducing your opponent's ability to defend himself, or you're actively buffing your own defense.
So you're actively saying the garbage will do?
I don't even know why I bother. I can't repel dad jokes of this magnitude.
I feel like Kraken is like, he's the guy, right?
He's the easiest to apply, but I don't know if he's the best.
Well, I don't know that either, and I don't. I'm just saying, and I'm not one of these. I used Lando before Lando was 2 points and rerollable on Han. I am not afraid of RNG. I'm not afraid of, you know, using cards the way that the developers intended them to be used, rather than scraping and scraping and scraping until I've chiseled them into a dragon glass knife. I'm not. Know which one's better. I know that I would have to prove to myself that something beat Kraken before I would move away from Kraken, because the droids need to do loaded upfront damage, need some survivability, and Kraken provides either or both.
Right. Two. Right. And again, I know that it's.
Well, I don't want this to. I don't want this to turn into another Y-wings versus TIE fighters debate. Because God knows.
We're good. I do want to know what list you guys are working on, though. I'm genuinely curious about it.
I've got something I really want to talk about.
Yeah, Drew, you wanted to talk about this last week.
I did.
So go ahead.
I've come to the realization that I have tried my darndest to make BB-8, like, work. And I think before the Rebel points change, it was pretty decent, right? You can catch your opponent for, you know, two times out of the game, right? Oh, we've got Poe. Oh, wait, we don't have Poe, because, like, you know, you BB-8 to booster barrel roll and do the blue, and you slam and get around, blah, blah, blah. But with Leia coming in, I have seen more and more, you know, the BB-8 black one, it just, Poe just dies. The Rebels just turn around, and then Poe goes one forward and focuses, and then it's like all those scenes in the movies where the single guy gets gunned down by like a million dudes, right?
Yeah,
like,
yep.
There's just nothing Poe can do.
It's
and
like the old
I,
westerns.
Yes, exactly. And I finally was like, you know what, fine, I'll try R4. And I am looking at Poe, and I'm like, you look an awful lot like Soontir Fel.
R4 on Poe is... just as good, if not better, than BB-8 Poe.
At first I really didn't think so.
A lot cheaper.
And it's not only a lot cheaper, but the more I look at it, the more I'm like, oh my, like, he can boost and barrel roll, he could focus boost, he can slam and blah 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 and do this and do that, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, how have I not, like, seen this? And it's so strange. Like, I played one game with it, we did half a game because the store closed, and like, we called it early, but I was sitting there and I was like, dude, this is the ship that I've always wanted to fly. Like, I feel so, I have so much fun flying it, and I, like, my options are open, and it's, I don't know, man, I cannot tell you guys how much fun it is flying that ship around.
X-Wings with a blue too hard are extremely good. There really isn't another way to say it.
Right.
That's what I've been going on with.
I think I found my... the ace I want to build my list around, so.
And he really is. He's a double repositioning ace, just like Sintir.
Right. Exactly. And that's... I don't know if that's good for the game or not. I'm pretty sure he's going to go up.
I really think Poe is doing fine, but not... it's not ridiculous. Basically, Poe... really keeping resistance in the fight right now, so...
I think so too, yeah.
Poe and Lulo really are that 1A and 1B. I have a list that Jeff, I told you about. Drew, I don't know if I've told you, but it's a triple Jedi list. So throw any illusions of, you know, a lot of hull out the window. This is an 18-hull list.
Throw any illusion of
winning
the faction that is supposed to do so. The faction is supposed to do something completely different. We're just going to throw all that out the window and run Aces Galore.
Yes.
Sold.
Okay. So it's Obi-Wan with 7B and R4, Ahsoka with 7B and Heightened, and Luminara with 7B and Heightened.
Oh my gosh, that sounds actually disgustingly fun to fly.
So
I agree, I like it.
The superstar of this list is actually not Kenobi or Luminara. It's Ahsoka. She's kind of the linchpin of this because I can either slow roll her to push actions to everyone else, or I run her forward and she triple actions because she affects herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she keeps one force for heightened if I need to get a round of shooting out of her before she dies. And then Luminara does Luminara things, which is, oh, did you not bring a focus token? And then all of them can focus if I need them to. And I have Ben sitting back there going, oh, you thought I spent that that focus on defense? No, just kidding. Force token. Yeah, it's a 3-die ship with a force and a focus. You mad?
Dude, she's like a reverse Duke.
She is a reverse. That's exactly what she is.
Badass, man.
I played her, like, the one game I played against her, she was incredibly infuriating because I was always flying red maneuvers. So it's like, 3 damage, Luminara, crap. Great, I just did 1 damage to an arc. Boy, I totally hope it won't take 9 turns to kill him like this. But yeah, and I mean, I'm just hoping that I can kind of dash in and out, use fine-tuned, because they're all 2 and 3 force. And if I have to, I'll just YOLO somebody with heightened perception and Obi-Wan. So I'm looking forward to flying that first chance I get, probably tomorrow. I haven't been to a night since the trial, decompressing. But I'm excited for that list.
I want to hear about it for sure. I want to hear how it.
Yeah, I was gonna say next time, please let us know about it, because that's a good friend of mine who, like, his whole thing is a clone, and we've been trying to put some three Aether Sprites together. And we couldn't really come up with anything that was anything decent that could fight anything competitively decent. But at the same time, man, I mean, we're theory crafting, right? We haven't actually put anything on the table. We haven't, like, pulled it all out and tried it out.
No.
So I'm really excited to see how it goes for you, because that list sounds fun.
And then I have one other one, which returns to it's my return to an old friend that I swear I abandoned, but I went back to it. It's 2 nave E-wings with R4, Wedge with Predator, and then AP5 with Leia. And it's exactly 200 points.
Wow, that's bang for buck, man.
That's value right there.
I was going to say, it's, the AP5 obviously isn't as tanky or as versatile as the U-wing, but, I mean, the E-wings with those white hard ones.
White hard ones, and with Leia, white 3 sloops at initiative 2.
Is there any way to get a point for Wedge to swarm tactic somebody?
No. There really isn't a point anywhere.
That's too bad.
It's 34.
Really sweet to have a 1 firing at a 6.
It's a 34. It's 34 for AP5, 54 for Wedge, and 56 for the 2 E-wings. There's 0 points in this list.
Well, I mean, look at it this way: no one's going to be running multiple E-wings anytime soon, so I'm pretty sure you'll see them go down in cost at some point within the next few points.
Eventually
you're gonna get to run them, but you just gotta wait. You just gotta wait.
I don't know how much further you can push E-wings down. That gets worrisome. You know what I mean, Drew? Like, how much? 54 points for the knaves feels pretty good. Maybe they go down to 50. Like, if they go down to 50, they're too good. Jeff, I heard a squeak of shock and horror.
Yeah, four knaves is too good.
I don't know about that. Remember, they still can't double mod every turn. Only a handful of the
first turn. Those first 12 dice, man.
That's
double
true.
Double modded 12 dice. You're erasing a ship.
That's true.
Unless they get lucky and kill one of yours.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be
might erase a ship.
I don't know if four knaves is as good as three sigmas or four sigmas, three with juke and one with crack. I mean,
I don't know, but do we want it to be that good?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, as a counter argument, I don't think they're even close to that good, even at 50 points. Because they don't. It'll be one token, you know. It'll either be lock focus or lock evade. I might start using evade on these guys once in a while, but that's what I'm working on. It's that one I'm a little more interested. I shouldn't say more interested. I'm more confident in that one because I kind of know how to fly E-Wings, and a lot of the problems that I was running into will be taken care of by Initiative 2, like getting blocked on my sloops by, you know, Initiative 1 and Initiative 2 ships. I am just kind of, you know, worried if Wedge is still not the third ship to have in that list, I think is kind of my question. Jeff, what do you got coming up? What are you working? Are you doing anything weird in Vassal?
I mean, nothing weird. You know, I've been trying to get the Han Solo list to work. And after the 20th place finish at the hyperspace trial. And I've settled on something that I want to try. I haven't played it yet because I wanted to play that Resistance bomber. But it is something that I want to try, and it's basically just a little bit of a tweak. I saw your success and other success with Wedge. With Han Solo, I slimmed him down to 88 points. So, Trickshot, Leia, and Lando. Heftober, Tactical Officer, and Hull Upgrade. And then Wedge, Swarm Tactics, and Hull Upgrade.
Yeah,
so, that is a solid list.
I like that a lot.
I hope so, and I'm hoping... Now, the problem with it is that it's got three bases that need to fly in pretty good formation in order to take advantage of Wedge's swarm tactics. Han Solo doesn't really need to be in formation, but he at least needs to be in reach of the same ship they're shooting at.
He needs to be around.
He needs to be around. If I don't get these three ships shooting on the same ship, then some Wedge has a good chance of being erased, even with seven hull just going away after he shoots.
We've covered a lot of ground, a lot more than I think even our schedule called for. So I think it's about time for us to go ahead and wrap this up, gentlemen.
Oh, we didn't talk about worlds.
Okay, well let's get that in real quick.
The pain.
I'm not going to interfere because I have no interest in world, so you guys go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I don't have an interest in it either. I wanted to see, you know, if the points don't change for the Juke Phantoms, we're just gonna see a bunch of Rebels and a bunch of Phantoms. And I don't really know who wins that, but I'm not interested because I don't.
Well, if we're not interested, then I guess we don't need to talk about it, do we? it sounds like you guys just asked and answered your own question, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have a good one.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.